Mr. Campbell, read the six.
The man, as I was saying, who was reeling out the telephone line, was hit plumb in the middle of his helmet, which made a dent in the helmet and knocked him out. And suddenly, this was my worst war experience, I think, a corporal who was there said, "He will get us all killed, and let's get out of this," and turned round and ran back towards the main position. I felt at the time, should I shoot him? But couldn't bring myself to do so. Perhaps war heroes, perhaps my colonel might have thought I ought to have done. But I didn't. And I ran after them, saying, "Stop, come back." But they, in fact, reached the company lines. And the colonel was contacted, was told what had happened, and decided to abandon. No, he decided to for us to try to go again. Well, we did, but we found ourselves in a position where we couldn't see anything. And I have to say that this put me in a fairly bad light, a very negative period of my life in which I naturally was not thought very well of. But I'm glad to say that following the war, I exchanged correspondence with Lorne Campbell, who said that he'd never heard the whole story, and he considered that I was quite right. I failed to go to see him in Edinburgh, and I'm very sad about that. I think that that was the worst experience, but the only other one that I remember, the only two things that I remember about Almain, one was the intense cold. I have never been so cold at any other time during the war. The temperature went down at night to almost freezing, and we were in shorts and shirts and only light pullovers, just khaki pullovers. And the other thing is the incredible exhaustion. I never have felt so tired again. On several moves, I won't call them marches, but moving to other positions, one was never clear what was going on. It was a complete melee it wasn't a front. It didn't look like anything. But on a night move, I did something I'd never done before or since, and actually fell asleep walking. And then waking up like that. And that night, in spite of the cold, and in spite of having no blanket at all, got down in a trench, I should say, no more than 50 yards in front of a battery of field artillery, which then fired a barrage. I slept without being woken at all, what must be the loudest noise that you can imagine, being in front of 25-pounders firing. My last experience of Almain was the one which actually brings tears to my eyes, was that suddenly it was all over. And von Thoma had gone, and we were told, this battle has been won. And that night, I'm very sorry, but this is terribly emotional. The Pipe Major, whose seven sons had been in the stretcher bearers, had been killed. And he went up onto the skyline, and he played "The Flowers of the Forest," which is the lament. Everybody cried. I could have everything. It was quite the most memorable experience, I think, that I had in the whole war. We all knew that his seven sons had been killed, and that he was the last of the family. And "The Flowers of the Forest," which was the lament for Flodden Field, is emotional in itself. And I think that everybody, even the toughest, just wept. And it is the most emotional experience I can think of.
Were you in the pursuit of the Germans once they'd been broken at Almain?
No, we weren't, because of course we were infantry, and the tanks would have been following then. We went off subsequently, but we were actually left behind, and Thoma was on the run, and there wasn't any then. Nothing stopped until we got to Mersebra Trou. And we never had any further resistance worth a damn or anything that happened right the way across the desert until we got we went through almost without a stop. I mean, we stopped and we walked occasionally. We were carried in lorries occasionally, but there was no fighting until very sporadic around outside Benghazi and very, very little. The Germans didn't attempt to do anything until the other side, Marath and Wadi Akarit.
Whilst you were fighting the Battle of Alamein, were you aware in any sense of making history?
I think yes, but it's difficult to say now whether this hasn't been information that one has gathered since. I think that a lot had been made of it. I think that Churchill had been saying how important it was. We, as the Highland Division, of course, with all that sort of bombast, were there to win the war, the ladies from hell, all this type of stuff, and the skirl of the pipes you go over the top. And had been generally briefed that that's what we were going to do to win the war for the people who hadn't been able to before. I mean, rubbish, of course, but I mean, that's the way it was. Yes, I think we did. I think that although we then were not absolutely clear of our own minds whether Rommel had been there, he was such a popular anti-hero, as you know, that a victory over Rommel after very considerable carnage and a long and hard battle, and one had read the stories of the desert, yes, I think we did. I think that we must have all felt, in a rather confused way, that this was the beginning of the end.
Did you
or the end of the beginning.
Did you meet Montgomery before the battle? Did he come round?
I saw him. I've never met him. I did see him with his two badges. I can see him. We were inspected by Wavell, of course, who, as you know, was a Black Watch. And so he didn't speak to me. He just walked along a line which I was standing. I never shook hands with Monty.
What did people, you and your brother officers, think of Montgomery? Was he popular with you or not?
I think that yes. I mean, he was a victorious commander, and there's no doubt about it that he was thought a lot of. This is undeniable. We knew nothing at all about the history. We were not, no black pictures had been painted of Auchinleck, and although I think probably in retrospect one would look at Auchinleck as the man who really saved the day by creating Alan Halfy, I've forgotten the name.
Alan Halfa,
and held the line at that particular point, the most strategic point, and had delayed the advance. We didn't know that, and our heroes would have been previous to that. Would have been Neil Ritchie, who of course was himself a Highlander, and Neame, and of course Wavell. But yes, we thought a lot of Monty. Monty was great.